Do you know what karma is? If you don't know, or even if you do, you need to listen to this episode.
Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
It's Dr. Dave, and welcome back to episode 94 of the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and a lot more. Now, as you can probably see, I am not alone on this episode. I've got Victoria Moran, famous author, motivator, inspirational person, friend. And it's an honor to have you on the show today, Victoria. Thanks so much for allowing me to actually come into your home. This is incredible. I love it. I want to move here.
Well, move here quickly and we'll hang out.
Is that a promise?
That's a promise.
This is going to thousands of people all over the planet. Now, you said that we've got you and that's not going to go away anywhere. This is always going to be here.
Not going anywhere. New York is good for vegans.
It really is. As a matter of fact, Yoko and I come here, as I told you earlier, we come here once a month or so. We love the vegan restaurants. We just love the environment. I could certainly move here, seriously. And it might be in our future one day.
Great.
It really might be.
Welcome.
Anyway, I've got in front of me, well, thanks for the welcome. I've got in front of me, I don't know, is this your most famous book, Main Street Vegan?
It's my most famous recent book. My most famous ever book is called Creating a Charmed Life. That came from 1999. And that one, oh my gosh, it's sold like crazy in 31 languages and still is selling. So for a lot of people, that's their favorite.
Well, I got to tell you something funny about this. I don't know if I told you in the past, but we have a very good friend who is also our yoga instructor. Her name is Sandy, and I'm going to give Sandy a little shout out here, because Sandy is a longtime vegan, and Sandy comes over to our house every Monday evening, and we do a little yoga class, just the three of us. And for as long as I can remember, before Yoko and I really went vegan, Sandy would just kind of lay down little hints to us and, you know, just talk to us about the animals and everything. And one evening she came over and just put this book on our desk, on our table. And she said, just when you get a chance, and no pressures, when you get a chance, just read this. And Yoko and I both read it, and it's been, I'm not just saying this because you're on the show today, it's been one of the most inspirational books for us. It helped us quite a bit transition to becoming totally plant-based, and that's why it's a total honor to be here with you.
Oh,
and I told Sandy that I would tell you that little story too. So
that's a beautiful story. I love yoga teacher stories. I have one too. I started studying yoga when I was 17. I read all three books in the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library on the subject, because it was not big like it is now. And when I moved to London at 18, I started actually taking a yoga class from a wonderful woman named Stella Churfis. And after that, I tried to find her when I went back to England, and it was as if she disappeared. Well, last fall, when I was in London for the VegFest UK, I tried one more time, and through the magic of the internet, there was Stella, age 90, still teaching yoga. She had been living on the continent for many years, and that's why I hadn't been able to find her. But the way that I reconnected with this woman, who's still doing so amazingly well at such an advanced age, was miraculous. It was like Lazarus, but it didn't have to be, because she's doing just great.
Love stories like that's incredible.
Yeah.
Good to hear that. I want to get started because I got a few questions for
okay.
you. And I know that you inspire a lot of people out there. But one of the things I wonder is, how do you wake up every morning with all this energy and motivation for all these? What gets you out of bed every single morning? I want to know that. I'm dying to know.
I have a very spiritual life. To me, that's the most important thing. It's the most exciting thing, and it's the only thing that doesn't get old. So before my feet touch the floor in the morning, I'm doing my gratitudes. That's really what gets me up, because I don't necessarily feel fabulous every single morning as I'm just lying there thinking, oh, there's a day ahead. But once I start churning those gratitudes, I have to get up, because I have one of the top 5,000 lives on the planet.
Well, how do you get that one of the top 5,000 lives on the planet? I want to hear a little more about that one. What does that mean?
Well, you know, when the Occupy people were doing their thing and talking about the 1% and all, it's like, I think there's probably a 1% of happiness. And certainly it takes a base level of a certain amount of health and prosperity and things to just get by. But I've also met a lot of people who are extremely happy, who don't have anything. At one point, I was working with Tibetan refugees in Nepal and northern India. This is my dog, Forbes, by the way.
If you
see
a
little black face.
Let's see, Forbes.
Forbes, oh, there he is.
Forbes, first time ever on a podcast. Maybe not.
And, you know, these people lived much simpler lives than you and I do. And they certainly had grief in their life. I remember one family, a little girl died, and we asked how she had died. And the father said, oh, she didn't die of anything. She just died. And he just had this incredible acceptance that sometimes things happen. So to think of everything I have to be grateful for and then not want to bound out of bed and get onto the day would be really ungrateful.
So, and this wasn't even on the script, but I've got to ask you, tell me some of the things you are actually grateful for.
I want
to hear about this. Just a few. Maybe your top several.
Well,
maybe even number one.
They vary from day to day. It's dangerous to come up with number one because then somebody else is always number two. Forbes, who we just saw, is such a happy maker. I've had cats my whole life, and my cats have been amazing. And I never really thought I was a dog person. We did adopt a dog when my daughter was a little girl. This dog was absolutely wonderful. But it took my second dog, it took this one, Forbes, to really teach me this incredible kind of unconditional love with another being. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for Forbes. I am grateful to live in New York City because not only is it Disneyland for vegans, but it is urban intensified. And I'm a very urban person. So often people think that because I've been vegetarian for over 40 years, that I must like growing vegetables or going to the country. And I really don't. I'm kind of uncomfortable in those atmospheres. I really like concrete and tall buildings. It suits me. So I have that here. And I'm also really grateful for what's going on in my life right now. Because at 65 years of age, when a lot of people are thinking about leaving their life of activity and going on to another phase, I have never been so immersed in my life of activity with still writing books, just finished my 12th book, traveling to speak, directing Main Street Vegan Academy, a training program to train vegan lifestyle coaches. We do that 4 times a year, which is miraculous. So there's a lot of great stuff going on.
So that was a beautiful segue into being in your 60s now, because I just turned 60, and I got to tell you something.
Happy birthday.
It was 2 months ago, but that's I'll accept anything I can get. That's okay. But you know, when I was 30 and even 40, I always thought that when you're 60, you know, it's pretty much very close to the end of your life. You're not productive anymore. You have aches and pains you can't get around. And I didn't really want to be 60. Now I'm 60, and I got to tell you, I'm loving it. And I feel kind of like you. I've got more things going than ever, and I feel great. I wouldn't have said this, but since I never like to ask a woman their age, but you just said it. You said you're 65.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's hard to believe being here next to you. You're 65. But How do you feel? How do you feel every day? Do you wish you could go back to 40 ever?
Not really. 50 was the hard year for me. I think 50 always seemed like a half century and the start of antiquity. And I remember when I turned 50, certain changes happen with women around 50. I remember I went to bed one night, I thought, with a nice flat stomach and a nice round bottom. And I woke up the next morning and I had a round stomach and a flat bottom. And it's like, wait a minute, this has been invasion of the body snatchers. I mean, what happened to me? And so I actually kind of panicked. And I wanted to turn things around. And so you have the book over there that came out when I was 53, the yellow one, called Younger by the Day. because I really needed techniques and tips and procedures that could make this thing go backwards instead of forwards. But now, at 65, I see it differently. And I actually love turning 60. I think I was glad to get out of my 50s because I had such a bad attitude about them. But I started getting happier in my 50s. And by the time I turned 60, I just felt very solidly rooted in my life, grounded in who I am and what I'm about. But another interesting thing happened around 60 for me. I developed a very strong community, a very strong vegan community here in the New York City area. I moved to New York at 50, and I had a wonderful group of very supportive people back in Kansas City. And when I left that, it took me a while to build another one. And I know all these articles and the studies about longevity talk about community and how important that is. I think it's more important than most of the other things we focus on.
Very interesting. Now, how do you feel about getting to 70? What do you think is going to happen when you're 70 years old?
I don't know.
Is this something you think about?
No, because I'm very much in the one day at a time thing. I have been schooled for many years in this idea of living in what Maxwell Maltz called day-tight compartments, 24 hours at a time. The Native Americans said that was the only span of time there is. Anything other than a day, we can't figure. So I don't think about future, but I do believe that if we're able to live this day well, it doesn't matter what the chronology is or what's going on. We're going to live another day well with a different chronology and other things going on.
So how would you say the 65-year-old Victoria compares to, let's say, the 30-year-old? Do you feel better? The reason I'm asking you is because the 60-year-old David Maddow feels better than the 30-year-old.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go back to 30 right now.
Well, it is and it isn't. You know, certainly there are certain things. When I was 30, I could stay up all night and I could do it for 2 or 3 days. You would not want to be around me if I stayed up all night now. So there are some things that I have to acknowledge. Yes, I've been around the sun more times than I had back then. And so I have to honor the body and what it needs, I think, more than I did then. But I understand the body and its needs more than I did then. And so I can treat myself better.
Now, I'm going to pull out your latest book right here.
It's yes.
The Good Karma Diet. How long has it been out? I know it's pretty new.
3 months.
Okay,
May, June, July. That's 2 months. 2 months.
2 months. So really new. And I want to ask you, because I love the title, tell me about karma. What is karma exactly? I mean, I kind of know what it is, but I want to hear from you.
Okay. Well, karma, when it comes theologically from its Vedic roots and it translated into Buddhism and Jainism and all the Eastern religions, is the idea that every thought, word, and deed comes back to us in kind. But it's not just an Eastern idea. It's in every religion, every philosophy. Jesus talked about reaping what you sow. It's everywhere, and I think we see it. And people in the West tend to discount it sometimes because we don't see it immediately. You know, we'll see somebody who looks like a not very nice person amass a lot of wealth, and we'll say, yeah, right, karma. But in the East, of course, because they believe in reincarnation, there's a lot longer time for all this karma to play out. And either way, when you're talking about how you're treating your body and how you're treating people around you, that kind of karma absolutely shows up right now in this lifetime. If you've been feeding yourself well, thinking good thoughts, exercising, getting enough rest, doing some meditation, you're going to have a very different body at 50 and 60 and 65. And I presume, based on other people that I know who live this way, at 70 and 80 and 85 as well, than if you've been treating yourself poorly. But the interesting thing about the good karma diet approach is it's not just about, oh yeah, I'm eating all this organic food and I'm getting the fresh pressed juice and aren't I cool? It's I am not harming others. My very first priority in my diet as an ethical vegan, my first priority, it's kind of like the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. Mm-hmm. And the second priority is feed myself the very best food that I can find in a given circumstance. So usually those are perfectly in harmony and I can do both at the same time and it's not a problem. There are times that I have been at a truck stop or an airport and the only non-animal food available isn't the healthiest food in the world. But that's all right. Once or twice, here or there, as needed. More important to me to do no harm than to pick the healthiest thing if it happens to not be vegan.
So tell me a little bit about what's, it says your subtitle is Eat Gently, Feel Amazing, Age in Slow Motion, which I love. I'm trying to really age in slow motion, believe me. Tell me about some of the recommendations you make here.
Sure. Well, age in slow motion is kind of what I've learned between Younger by the Day and now, because what I see is we're not going to go backwards. That would actually be creepy. That would be Benjamin Button. But to age in slow motion in our culture really means to age normally, because what happens is that through the way that we live, all of the stress, not treating ourselves well, not knowing ourselves well enough to treat ourselves well. I'm very interested, for example, in Ayurveda, the ancient healing tradition of India, where you come to know the kinds of foods and the kinds of things that you need for your own individual self. So you honor yourself by taking care of the person you are, not just some person on some chart, you know, the great average human, whoever that is. So you treat yourself well, and the aging process doesn't accelerate the way it often does in this culture. So in terms of tips, I have something called the MEND program. Did I talk about that when I was on your show before?
I believe you did. We did two episodes, and I believe you spoke about it on the second. But if you want to elaborate or talk about it again, we're fine with that.
Well, it's so quick, and I know we don't have a lot of time, and I can just tell your listeners, hello, listeners, I've been looking at David all the time and not looking at you. MEND is M-E-N-D, and that is meditation, exercise, nourishment, and detoxification. You get those four things together, you have got it all going on.
Talk real briefly about each one then.
Okay.
And especially, I know we both love meditation. In fact, when I was mentioning you this morning, you said you're going to be meditating for a little while, so you're turning your phone off. So.
Yeah. And that was interesting because I try to meditate really early in the morning before anybody would even think about calling. But today, you know, life intervened. So it doesn't have to be perfect, which is another wonderful thing. Meditation is simply quiet time. The studies that say such wonderful things as that people who have meditated for 5 years or more are 12 years younger physiologically than people who don't meditate usually look at people who do a formal kind of mantra meditation 20 minutes twice a day. But you know what? This works if you just go within, and that can be journal writing, the rosary, scripture reading, prayer. It doesn't matter. If it takes you inside and connects you to your highest self and to the higher power that you perceive of, you've got it. That's the deal. It just has to be regular because it's not going to make you younger if it's every now and then or, oh my gosh, something terrible happened. I better go pray about it. No. Every day. Exercise. And again, I'm beginning more and more, the more I study Ayurveda, to come to see that not everybody needs a huge amount of exercise necessarily, but you've got to move the body. And because we live in the first time in history when you could be completely sedentary and still have a reasonably interesting life, that's absolutely frightening. So just things like standing more than you sit and moving more than you stand, as well as whatever exercise kind of speaks to you. And it really took me until very recently to find one that I loved. I have come to like weight training, and I've liked a few other kinds of things here and there, but I love aerial yoga. Now,
aerial yoga.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure we even talked about that. So you have to tell us a little bit.
I just discovered it.
Oh, just
it.
Now? Okay, but you have to tell me what aerial yoga is all about.
Aerial,
is this doing yoga from a helicopter? Maybe?
No, it's these fabrics are hung from rigging points in the ceiling. Oh. So they're like kind of like a little hammock. They're a little bit like what the Silks performers use. Mm-hmm. And so you do some of the standard yoga positions using these fabrics, so you're suspended, and you spend a lot of time upside down.
Where, not very high.
Okay. Not although high would be fun. My daughter is actually an aerial performer, and I look at what she does and think, you know, it is hereditary. It's just that I got it from her. But I love it. And so that's an exercise I really want to do. And I will also go across the street and do some weights and do a little cardio. I don't really want to do that. I do that because I need to. Mm. The aerial yoga, I do because I love. And then I do the other stuff to make me fitter for what I love. So it works. N is nourishment, mm-hmm. which I used to say nutrition, but that sounds like a bunch of bottles at the GNC. So nourishment is really, you want to nourish yourself in every possible way with your environment, with the colors, with the conversations mm-hmm. you have, with the books you read, the movies you go to. But you also want to nourish yourself really well with the food. So food that's whole, food that's fresh, and food that suits you. You want to eat food that you can digest. It might have a lot of nutrients on a nutrient list, but if you can't tolerate it or you can't digest it, then it's not all that nutritious for you. So you come to know yourself, and you want to get up from every meal feeling like your whole digestive apparatus is saying, thank you, David, thank you. You just fed me such good stuff. You're my favorite human. And detoxification is a little bit of the same. First, it means you just don't want to toxify yourself. And, you know, so many of us are getting so many poisons that we don't even think about. Most people have a toxic waste dump under their sink, just with the kind of stuff mm-hmm. that we tend to clean our houses with. When instead, if you want to get the more natural products, which also tend to be not tested on animals, very nice mutuality in that way, or you can just use white vinegar and baking soda and club soda. It cleans almost everything. And you want to put the purest, most natural products on your skin. And sometimes people will say, but that's just on top. What difference does that make? And I say, have you ever met anybody who was quitting smoking with the patch? You know, you put that on there and it mm-hmm. goes in. And then you can help these wonderful systems of your body with their detoxifying efforts by doing things like sweating, dry skin brushing, oil massage. They're just wonderful, sweet little things that you can do to make your body love you.
Great stuff. Now, I'm assuming this is available in bookstores all over, right?
All over.
If anybody would like to get in touch with you personally to take one of your courses, to come here and take, you call it your intensive, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's a Main Street Vegan Academy, yeah, Academy. Certification course.
So
yeah.
What's the best way to get in touch with you?
On my website, which is mainstreetvegan.net. Somebody else got .com. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I'm mainstreetvegan.net. It's working. You can find all the information there, and all the phone numbers and emails for being in touch are there as well.
Victoria, thanks so much for being a guest here and allowing me to come into your actual home studio. This has been fantastic. But I've got a question for you. I've got some more I'd love to talk about. So I might be here for a while. Is it possible we can come back next week and maybe even answer some questions that some of my listeners have had? I think you might be a perfect person to help answer some of these questions. Would you have me back? Can I have you back?
Honored. Yeah, sure. Welcome, Matt is out.
Let's do it. Until next week, though, thanks so much, Victoria. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.